for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our program. I am John Lawrence, your host for today. Terror pays in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, apparently, where killers recently freed by Israel, notably under pressure from the United States, are getting six-figure payments and military promotions now from the Palestinian Authority. Issa Abed Rabo, the longest-serving of some of the 104 Palestinian prisoners that Israel released, is getting the standard $50,000 from the Palestinian Authority that it pays to freed terrorists, plus another $60,000 and the full cost of his upcoming wedding. This is reported by Fox News, and Rabo apparently tied up and shot two Israeli Hebrew University students who were hiking near Jerusalem in 1984. Rabo, now 49, was sentenced to life in prison, but became a hero to some Palestinians for no other reason than killing Rivital Seri, 22, and Ron Levy, 23, two Jewish men. The Palestinian Authority has long paid out five-figure sums to terrorists, as well as monthly stipends and military promotions, and also rewards the families of suicide bombers. But the latest examples, especially in light of Israel's public opposition to freeing the prisoners, are triggering a backlash. The world thinks it's funding peace, but instead the Palestinians are funding terror, said Deputy Defense Minister Danny Danon. Their aid money is being used to give massive grants to these terrorists. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who has praised the mother of Rabo for her steadfastness, quote, and her sacrifices during her son's prison time, celebrated the release of these prisoners on the West Bank. He has made winning the freedom of Palestinian prisoners one of his highest priorities, and the U.S. strongly urged Israel to go along with this release as a sign of good faith ahead of peace talks. Now, I wonder if we would agree to release such convicted killers back into our society as a sign of goodwill. Despite polls reflecting the opposition of an overwhelming majority of the Israeli public to the convicted killers being given their freedom, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, under pressure from U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry to make a gesture of good faith, went along with the plan as Israeli and Palestinian officials resumed peace talks in Jerusalem after a three-year hiatus. The funds paid out to Rabo and other convicted killers come from the Palestinian Authority's general fund. The PA gets roughly $600 million in aid every year from the United States and hundreds of millions more from the European Union countries. The PA says the money is paid out to help the former prisoners adjust to life in the free world. But critics believe it is a government-funded reward program for murder and for terrorism. This is yet another example of the way the Palestinian leadership has really squandered its resources, said Jonathan Shanzer, author of the recently released book, State of Failure, which examines the financial dealings of the Palestinians. In this case, they are not only misallocating huge sums during a financial crisis in the West Bank, they are transferring their resources to convicted murderers, which is completely unethical. American officials really should conduct an investigation, he said, into whether these funds were allocated from accounts where U.S. tax dollars were involved. I wonder what the Palestinian Authority is willing to do as a gesture toward peace, as they ask Israel to do. The record shows that most of their official behavior tends to nurture and support further terrorism. Peace, for them, is simply one step toward the goal of wiping Israel off the map. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for wisdom for her leaders. Now let's listen to our Bible teacher today, Jewish believer brother Mark Oshman.
Thank you for joining our radio Bible study. With this lesson, we will conclude the study about why a Christian needs to put off his old man and put on his new man. We've been looking at the fourth chapter of Ephesians, where Paul instructed his audience to put on the new man. Therefore, in this session, we'll look at what that action involves. After an individual receives Jesus Christ as Savior, God places a new nature within that person. Paul described this process in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Quote, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Unquote. What does spiritual renewal entail? In Colossians chapter 3, Paul expanded upon that matter. He wrote, quote, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Unquote. Over the next few minutes of this session, we'll examine this statement in greater detail. Paul referred to Christians as the elect of God. That term elect has nothing to do with determining whom God will take to heaven or condemn to hell. Rather, it refers to God's choosing, equipping, and placing his people into his service. God especially selected certain individuals, making them his instruments to do his will. That decision has its basis in the eternal counsel and foreknowledge of God. The expression "bowels of mercies" derived from a Hebrew idiom that functioned as a synonym for tender mercies. Jesus Christ exhorted his followers, quote, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also was merciful." Unquote. Since Christians have become beneficiaries of God's mercies, they ought to extend that compassion toward others. The Greek word translated as kindness appears in the second chapter of Ephesians. In that context, the word kindness alluded to the benevolence that Christians receive from God the Father through Jesus Christ. Paul expressed a similar thought in the third chapter of Titus, writing about the appearance of, quote, "the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man," unquote. That same Greek word also occurred in Galatians chapter 5, depicting one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When a believer displays the trait of kindness, he refutes the claims of those who assert that Christians lack love and compassion for others. Humbleness of mind reflected the attitude the believer should possess with regard to others. In the second chapter of Philippians, Paul instructed the congregation of that city to have the mind of Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ encouraged his adherents to, quote, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart," unquote. Thus, believers should submit to each other, not exalt themselves above one another. The Greek word for meekness described a gentleness of disposition. Please learn to distinguish between meekness and weakness. The two are not the same trait. Weakness denotes insufficient strength. Meekness depicts strength tempered by self-control. Christians who display meekness in their dealings with others show the sincerity of their professed humility. As with the quality of kindness, meekness is mentioned as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The term long-suffering described an attitude characterized by patience. Just as God puts up with the rebellion of the unsaved against him, something implied in the third chapter of 2 Peter, Christians should likewise be slow to anger. Long-suffering, by the way, is another of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Christians need to put up with one another, forgiving those who have offended them. Paul explained the nature of that type of forgiveness. He wrote in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, quote, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you," unquote. Such an absolution has nothing to do with the degree to which the offender merits it. Instead, the offended Christian should freely render forgiveness based upon the fact that Jesus Christ had likewise pardoned him for his sins. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus Christ taught as follows, quote, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another," unquote. The unsaved world will judge the authenticity of an individual's Christian profession by the way that person interacts with other believers. Believers who have undergone spiritual renewal conduct themselves in accordance with the new life principles that they have received. They pattern themselves after a new model, that is, Jesus Christ. Most of all, they allow a new motivation, divine love, to stimulate their actions. The apostle had several additional exhortations to write to the church of Colossae. Quote, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful," unquote. Christians who allow God's peace to prevail in their hearts will not give way to anxiety. That peace will uphold them and strengthen them. According to the fourth chapter of Philippians, moreover, that peace of God transcends human ability to comprehend it. Gratitude should serve as a defining characteristic of every believer. In the fourth chapter of Colossians, Paul exhorted his readers to, quote, "continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving," unquote. Paul informed the Thessalonian Christians that, quote, "in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," unquote. Timothy needed to ensure that, quote, "supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men," unquote. An earlier series of lessons on the subject of thanksgiving will provide further insight as to how this particular grace operates. In the third chapter of Colossians, Paul provided further information about how to live the renewed life. Quote, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord," unquote. The verb translated dwell in the first part of that sentence came from a Greek word that possessed a special significance, a significance that profoundly affected the interpretation of this phrase. Paul used that same Greek term in the eighth chapter of Romans with reference to the Holy Spirit's indwelling a believer. In that situation, the Holy Spirit acted not merely as a resident of a Christian's body. The Holy Spirit indwelt the Christian in the desire to execute control over that Christian's actions. In the same sense, a believer must allow the word of Christ to exercise dominion over him, enabling him or her to recognize and apply God's wisdom. Furthermore, Christians ought to instruct one another in God's ways. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, all are musical compositions that might derive from the scriptures, as the Psalms do, but these also might include musical pieces composed by members of the individual congregations. Christians should perform this ministry of music with grace in their hearts. Note that the apostle's statement alluded to music as a vehicle for instructing the saved, not as an evangelistic tool for reaching the unsaved. Believers should do all things in the name of Jesus Christ, in other words, by his authority. They should not use that name as a talisman for invoking supernatural enablement. Rather, they ought to remember that as stewards of God's manifold grace, they labor in this world as God's representatives. Therefore, they need to put off their old ways and live in accordance with their new spiritual natures. This concludes our series about spiritual renewal. Thank you for listening to this broadcast, and please join us for future radio programs on this station.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.